Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hello and welcome to the Yellow Block podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network. Since we last recorded, we've played twice, won twice, 2-3-0 shutouts. Delighted to welcome back to hosting duties as well, Mr. Jared Farmer. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Long time no speak.
I know, I'm missing you already.
Yeah, and you've just had a plethora, which for your sake, Jared, means a lot of tractors go past your house.
200 plus, I'd say.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm not very good at counting, but yeah.
And it's dark. I wonder why tractors are out in the dark. But you do live in the middle of nowhere. So
Santa was on one of the tractors.
Was it? Have you seen that video, Jared, of that like Santa, you know, going around a housing estate? He's on the back of like a pickup truck and he's like, can't stop, kids, clutch is gone. Have you seen that?
That was pretty much what just come past the house, to be fair.
Could you imagine taking your kids out there, getting all excited to see Santa and the clutch is gone so he can't stop? That is the sort of thing that would happen around your way, to be fair. We've also got another new loan sign in. I've got Lods. Good evening, sir.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Buzzing after the last couple of weeks. Welcome to the show. Joining us initially on a loan, hoping for a permanent deal.
Oh, we'll see. How much do you pay?
Well, how much do we pay, Jared?
Well, I've not received a penny yet, so it must be all in your bank.
Yeah, I think we just kind of pay in, I don't know, nice. We're not even nice to each other, are we? Let's be honest. We just pay in the satisfaction of giving back to the posh community, Lods. That's kind of the best I can do, really.
Okay, we'll see then. We'll see.
I mean, it's either that or you set up your own breakaway pod, proud to be posh. You know, it's already got its own advertising up at the stadium, ready to go. Or the Bad Rhino pod, something like that. You've got all
posh,
these...
Posh, maybe.
Posh, but yeah. Oh, I saw actually our producer, Jared, offering you up as a model for the plus size clothing brand.
I tick the boxes, don't I? It's a fair shout, to be fair.
You ever done any modelling? I can't imagine.
Gloves. Got big hands.
Some comments on our previous episode. Ron Hollis has got in touch, all in capitals this. I'm not going to shout it because I've got neighbours. He says, great, will you be explaining what has happened with the Canadians this time? We need to hear what Dara has to say. Now, I wonder if Ron's maybe got us confused with the Heart Truth podcast. Because we don't know what's happened to the Canadians. There's still been no communication from the club, has there? Jared, obviously, this has happened since we last spoke. Just briefly, your view on the fact that Randy and Jason have up sticks, allegedly.
Well, I think we were all expecting Randy to go, weren't we, with all the alleged things going on behind the scenes. Jason, maybe not so much, but I think he struggled with the social media side of it and some of the abuse he's got. So, again, is it a huge shock? Probably not. Obviously, they're still, as I understand it, owners, aren't they? But I just think that will change. I presume Dara's going to take back the 50%, and he'll be the sole owner again.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Lods, what's your view on the ownership?
Yeah, I don't think we need to panic just yet. They've obviously still owned 50% of the club, but removing them as directors, I think, is only a positive thing. Trusting Dara to run the club by himself is definitely more beneficial than having them two, especially given everything that's gone on the last couple of years.
Are you a Dara fan? Are you Dara in?
I'm on the fence. Sometimes I'm in, sometimes I'm out.
Shake it all about. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm shake it all about, yeah. I don't like his attitude, his ego. I think he's very stubbun. He doesn't like to change.
He has his way of doing things,
and he will do it his way no matter what. But I do think at this moment in time, obviously things are going very well. Mm-hmm. I think we should stick with what we're doing, which does suit Dara's philosophy, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Fair enough. I mean, I feel like we're building up quite a diverse range of views on Dara on this pod, which is good, to be fair. It will be nice to hear a little bit around what's actually happened over the last couple of weeks at the club. I feel like we deserve that, and we should get some sort of official communication from Dara. Continuing on the comments from the previous episode, Emerald Posh says, average. I'd take that all day long, to be fair. Dan N says, can we have a with the greatest respect jar? Yeah, I noticed this when I was listening back. We did say that a lot, but with the greatest respect. It's just how it is, isn't it? Nick Atkinson says, great pod as usual. Thank you very much. But please, someone give Dan the number for the Samaritans. I'm worried for him. Dan's Mr. Negative, isn't he? But he's happy in his own way. And we like the fact that we've got that broad range of views, even when we're absolutely flying and in the form of our lives. Dan brings us back down to earth, tempers expectations. We have played twice since we last played, since we last recorded, I should say. 2-3-0 shutouts. First came on Tuesday night, Jared. This was Bristol Street Motors Trophy. Arsenal 0, Posh 3. We're into the round of 16 against Crawley. Got another home tie. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the majority of it. Posh Plus was absolutely horrendous, so I struggled. But, yeah, it's good to see some of the players who are not always getting a run out of play. I was expecting more from Arsenal under 21s. I think we played them a few years ago, didn't we? I think it was when they had Dan Crowley and a couple of others, and they were brilliant. So I was expecting a little bit more of a stern test, but no, a good win.
And Windowsill took his goal really, really well. I'm telling you, he's gonna become a belter of a player if he can keep fit. Was there anyone else that took your fancy, so to speak?
No, I think Windowsill, he was one who stood out for me as well. But you seemed, listen to the last podcast, you seem really confident that he's going to end up being the next one off the old conveyor belt.
Yeah, he will be. If he can stay fit, that's my only concern. I don't think he's there with fitness, and I feel like he should be by now. So, but absolutely, if he can stay fit and he can adjust to the men's game quickly, then yeah, I think Motherwell. I don't think we'll buy a new replacement striker. We might get one in as backup, but I honestly think that from keeping you up, Jared, I honestly think that from January onwards, Windowsill's going to be our main striker. Lods, have you had a chance to see Malik? Any opinion on whether I'm talking shite?
I think the first time I've really seen him play was Tuesday night, and he did look a threat. It seems like he plays quite a similar way to Ricky, which is only positive for us. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think if/when Jono goes in January, I don't think we'll sign anyone. I don't think we need to. I think
even for some depth, though?
No. I think we can carry on playing the way we are. I think Windowsill will slot in. Either he'll be better than Ricky, or he'll be a good enough backup, I think.
Yeah, Windowsill. He was certainly a pain. Right? You see what I did there? Yeah. Come on, Jared, pull yourself together. Oh, they're just rolling off this evening. I'll tell you what else I did notice in this. Jared Fuchs was good. 2 assists to his name. Good to have him back. We mentioned on the last pod whether he can break into the team. I think all the time Hector and Archie are doing their thing. Probably not, but there's no harm in having him back knocking on the door, right? But my question, I guess, would be, do you think he'll still be in the club come the end of January?
I'd like to think so. We do need a bit of depth in midfield, because, like I say, we are relying on Kyprianou and Collins. They've been, don't get me wrong, absolutely superb as a partnership. But yeah, you certainly need backups, because we will get injuries before now and the end of the season, whether it's up top, which I really hope not, midfield, defence, it's going to happen. So yeah, no, Fuchs for me is, I've always said about, you know, the James Weselowski type player, and for me, he is that kind of player, better than him. Yeah, yeah, I liked him when he came in the Championship. I think he did a good job. And yeah, it'd be great to keep him with us. But I'd expect he's on quite a few quid.
Yeah. Crawley in the last 16, lads, with the fixtures going to start coming thick and fast, and with where we're at in the league, I know we don't play this game until, I think it's February, I want to say, the last 16. Is it a cup that you would kind of keep managing the same way, or do you think now we would see more of those senior players starting these games?
I think we're probably going to try and win it, aren't we? So I can see us getting stronger and stronger. I might be wrong. In 2014, when we won it, I think, did we start off playing the weaker squads and then eventually started playing our big hitters in that one as well?
Yeah, probably. It feels like that's how most managers approach it, isn't it? When you get through to these like last 16, last eight, that's when you kind of start to ramp it up. But I don't know. I mean, I suppose it depends how we do in the FA Cup as well. Do we really want this extra fixture? Do we want these extra fixtures? I mean, I suppose you could argue you're only, what, 3-4 games away from a final now. But I don't know. Is it a competition we want to...
I'm not sure. Financially, do you get much from winning the EFL trophy?
I think you get like a free rental car from Bristol Street Motors.
Fiat 500. By the way, like, how can they break off? Because it's not been Bristol Motors from the start, has it?
No, it's been all sorts, hasn't it? I think they just give it to whoever gives out the best.
I mean, from the start of the season, start of the campaign.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure this season it has been.
No, they changed it halfway through.
Do you reckon?
I think we played 2 pizza games and then the rest have been cards.
Oh, that's interesting. I can't say I've noticed because I don't really pay too much attention to it. But that's interesting. If anyone knows for sure, let us know, because I find that quite interesting. Why would Papa John's just suddenly go, no, not having that anymore?
We know why they give it up, because it's a shy competition.
Do you remember a few years back when, whenever there was a game, everyone used to just berate this, like, we used to just bombard the sponsors with tweets about how shit the tournament was and how everyone hates it and it was just a waste of time. Does it feel like we're warming up to this trophy a little bit more? There doesn't seem to be as much uproar around it now.
I think we seem to have gone big on youth recently, haven't we? I know we've always tried to, but maybe that coincides with obviously playing the youth in that competition, because there's no real pressure, is there? Darrow's not coming out at the start of the season saying he wants to win it, I don't think. So... yeah, why not just... it gives them some game time against men.
Yeah, and let's be honest, if we do make it to Wembley, we'd all go, wouldn't we? So it's, you know, we're all in it that way. Yeah, sort of politeness out of the way. Let's talk about the main game. Posh 3, Oxford United 0. And this was billed as a huge game for us, right? The way that the league was shaping up, this was going to be the one, certainly in the month of December, that we needed to win. I mean, Loz, it was a sensational performance. It was professional. It was great. It was good all across the park. We looked fantastic. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I don't tend to look at the league table before Christmas.
Really? You sound like Kisby. Yeah. Something he would say.
Yeah. Well, a few people mentioned beforehand that they were third in the league. And after the first half was played, I don't think they had a single shot, did they, Oxford? So they looked terrible.
Yeah, they were. In fairness to them, they have just sacked... well, not sacked, sorry. They've just lost their manager and obviously brought in a new manager. It takes time, doesn't it? It wasn't great timing from their point of view. But yeah, I agree. They were poor.
Did their form fall off the cliff that much just based on the manager leaving, though? Or...
well, evidently. I think this was his first or second competitive game in charge. So, yeah, I mean, they were flying, lost their manager. I mean, that's gonna upturn any club, isn't it, you'd think? Especially when they want to stamp their own ideas on things.
It's hard to say whether Oxford were really bad or we were just really good. We've played very, very well for a number of games now, haven't we? So maybe it isn't that Oxford were bad. Maybe it is just we're so good that we're making every team that plays look terrible.
Yeah. I mean, first half, Jared, it could have been like 6-7-0 by half time. It was... I think what it is showing is that we can adapt where we've never really been able to do that before. You know, previous seasons, it's been all about either attacking football or possession football, either or, there's no kind of in between. This season, it feels like we can adapt a little bit more to the opposition. That wasn't the case at the start of the season, but it's certainly the case now and coincides with a great run of form.
Yeah, just what Lad said there. I think it's more a case of we're a lot better than the other team. you got to think, if you're that other team, when you've got the counter-attacking players that we've got, they're almost nervous to go forward, because as soon as they do and we break the play up, then we're down the other end. And so many times we looked like we was going to score. Like you say, it could have been 6 or 7 nil. So I'm genuinely loving how we're playing at the minute. And I think we spoke a couple of pods back about when we first seen, you know, start to see the pattern. It was when JCH topped out, really, weren't it? And Ricky Joe Jones started playing more.
Jared, is that a way of you saying I told you so?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's three times over the season. I'm going to come out with these things, aren't I? But yeah, now Fergie listened and yeah, dropped the old boy at the top. It's just happened, isn't it? We're playing brilliant.
Fergie dropped his old boy and suddenly our form improved, is Jared's takeaway there. Host of the season times three. I can see why with insight like that. But no, it was a dominant performance. Defensively, I thought we looked pretty good as well. The passing was good. And I guess what I've noticed more, particularly with the front four, is their decision-making is improving game on game. And I think that's potentially why we're seeing now the likes of Joel Randall start to step into the role that we always hoped he could, because that end product's there that was maybe not there a few months ago. It feels like they're all starting to make the right decision. They're all starting to work well together. And that's another reason why I don't think we'll replace JCH with a starting striker in the summer, because I think there's that risk of unsettling the ship now.
Yeah, Ricky as well. I think over the last month or two, Ricky J. Jones's decision making has improved massively. He's never been the best technically, but he has got that absolute raw pace. And we could accuse him definitely previous years in the beginning of this season of not knowing what to do with it. It feels like he's using it at the right time now. He's petrifying defenders. Their back line, Oxford's back line, looked really slow, didn't they? Every time he ran past them, he was 10 yards away from before they'd even turned around. And I think what he's doing there is he's pushing the opposition back line so far back that Poku and Mason Clark and Randall have got so much more space to work the ball around.
Yeah.
Mason Clark and Poku, best wingers in the league by far. Mm-hmm. Defenders, teams, when they play against us, they've got a decision to make. Do they play deep and stop Ricky but allow Mason Clark and Poku the ball? Or do they play a high line and allow space for Ricky to run into? That's why I don't think Jono would make his way back into the team. I don't think a player of Jono's sort of ability will displace Ricky, even if we try to sign one in January.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think that JCH will be here past January the 1st, if I'm honest. I'm sure a deal's probably already been done. Was there anyone that stood out in this game for you in terms of had a sensational performance?
Not really, actually. And I think that's the good thing about this team is that there's not really a standout player, is there? I think Mason Clark played well. Burrows, it was one of his better games this season, definitely. Like I said, Ricky, he's been a lot better recently, and that was a great example of that. Ronnie, again, excellent. There's no real bad performance there at all, or no average performance. They were all just very, very good on the day.
Yeah, Jared, anyone stand out for you?
Yeah, Harrison Burrows, which I want to talk to you about in a minute, Tim, because you're going to eat that hat you're wearing. Because at left back, you've got to say, he's doing his job defensively, and he's more than doing his job going forward as well. So,
I know, yeah. But well, hold on, though, because that's slanderous. I've never said he can't do it going forward. I feel like he should be going forward.
You said he's not a left back, and he shouldn't be playing left back.
He's not a left back. He should be playing forwards. However, credit where it's due, he's a square peg filling a round hole quite effectively at the moment. I would agree with you there, but he's not a left back. I stand by that. He's not a left back.
He's playing really well in a really good team as a left back. So
it's easy to play well in a position you're not a natural in when the whole team's playing well, though. If we go on a bad run of form, it will be that left back position that's our the chink in our armor. Look, I mean, Harrison is a great player. I sing his praises all the time. His ability to cross the ball is like nobody that I've seen at this club. But as a left back, he's wasted. It's not his position. He's filling it great, happy days, but it's not his best position. He shouldn't be playing at left back, in my opinion.
Do you know what, going back to what Lodge just said about JCA, it's a really good point, actually, because when the ball would come to him, there was always lots of players around him. They had to rely on like tight passing, didn't they? With now, because Jones is going, you know, beyond the last line, it's right. He's just giving Mason Clark and Poku so much space to do damage. I think that, yeah, it's a really good point.
Yeah, and I think that's why, you know, as well, like you said, Lods, with the fact that, that Mothersill is a similar type of player, I think works well for us because it does give you those options. And if you're a, you know, we used to use Ricky as that kind of last 10 minutes, go on and inject some pace and some energy. Well, if we've got two of them in the squad, if you're a defender and you've been, you know, given the run around by Ricky J. Jones for 80 minutes and then Malik comes on and does the same, that's such a threat to have in that forward line, isn't it? Who needs JCH? JCH who, right?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point. I didn't really set up for a question, but yeah, it's a good insight, Lods. Thank you. I appreciate your outlook on that one. In terms of what it's done to the league table, so it's dropped Oxford, I should say, down to sixth, pushed us up to fourth. There's a real mix of games. So Portsmouth and Bolton remain the front runners. And interestingly, we're recording this on Sunday evening. They actually play Monday evening. So really interested to see how that one plays out. Steve Evans, Stevenage managed to sneak a win. So they move up to third, joint points with Bolton. But they've played a game more than us and three games more than Bolton. So I still feel like they're going to fall off. Derby are in okay form in fifth. I mean, for me, at the minute, I would say it's probably a four-horse race. I think Pompey, Bolton, Posh, if we can maintain this, and Derby. I think Oxford will slip now. They've changed managers. I can't see Stevenage maintaining this. And there's nobody else around there, maybe Barnsley, that's going to really go on a run. I don't know, Lods. I mean, pre-season, obviously, you know, we didn't have a chance to speak to you then. Where were you kind of pre-season versus where you're at now in terms of your expectations?
I think during the time we were expecting all the big hitters to go and not be replaced. Ronnie, Josh Knight. Obviously, we lost Taylor. We were expecting Jono to go. When we were talking about playing players like Manny Fernandez, Will Blackmore, Kai Corbett, we were all expecting mid-table at best. When we knew we were keeping Ronnie, Knight and Jono, kind of had to change the expectations. I thought in and around the bottom of the playoffs would be about where we were. So I am surprised we're doing as well as we are. I think if we carry on playing the way we are, we should stay roughly where we are. And I think our form is good enough to finish in the top two. I think we've got more points now than we did after 20 games in any other League One season, which goes to show we finished second in two of them, didn't we? So we should be able to, as long as we can maintain what we're doing now, we should be able to be up there, hopefully first or second. But I'll be happy with any playoff spot.
Now, league's top scorers as well, Jared. I mean, would you take playoffs now?
It's weird, isn't it? Because obviously I said at the start of the season, mid-table. So you asked me then, playoffs, yeah, all day long. But I don't know. I feel like the way we're playing and what opposition teams, fans are saying about us as well, about being by far the best team they've seen. No, I wouldn't. I do feel like... we could really go on a run and get automatic. So I would want to take the chances on it.
Yeah, I agree. But at the risk of kind of parroting myself week on week, I do still have concerns about squad depth. I don't think we've really got anything outside of the first maybe 13, 14 players. And the other thing, Lods, is you mentioned about those players going. Maybe it's not played out the way that we expected it to, but we are still expecting Ronnie to go. JCH... we expect to go, and whilst we've all said he wouldn't make the team now, there's still a big character there. I mean, it feels like it's kind of going to become quite a big January for us, which we weren't really expecting in the summer.
Yeah, I think with Jono, yeah, you've got his personality in the dressing room. That could be a big change for the squad. It feels like we've been phasing him out for a few months now. He's not the biggest concern of mine. Ronnie, again... we've got Katongo ready to go in his place. He's nowhere near as good, but he plays a similar way. My biggest concerns will be whether Man City want to call Katongo back and whether Rotherham are calling Kyoso back or not, because I think for me he's been the most consistent this season. Definitely our better players. And if we're losing Jono out of that dressing room, we don't want to lose Kyoso as well, do we?
Yeah, so I'm just conscious of January being a potentially an issue for us. But, I mean, you mentioned there about Katongo. Craig Franks has been in touch this evening. Don't just be interested to get everyone's thoughts on Jadel Katongo for centre-back once Ronnie goes. Similar composure on the ball to Ronnie and able to pick out a pass. I'll throw that to you then, Lod. So would you be happy for Jadel to kind of step in when Ronnie does go?
Yeah, I've got no problem whatsoever. I think our attack is good enough to not worry too much about the defence. We're lucky that we've got Ronnie, who is probably the best centre-back in the league. If we had Katongo playing there instead of Ronnie yesterday, worst-case scenario, we concede one goal. We would have still won 3-1, wouldn't we? So as long as we keep scoring, I'm not too worried about losing Ronnie. And Katongo's style of play means that it's not going to affect our possession either.
Yeah, fair enough. Jared, for you, Katongo in for Edwards?
Yeah, absolutely. He's almost like for like a very similar player. But I'm worried about January because I could see Katongo going back. I think there's rumours that Championship clubs are interested in him. You turn your face up to him, but he's not getting enough minutes, is he really? He's not playing enough.
I don't think he's as good as what the posh fan base think he is from what we've seen.
I do think he's a very tidy player. And in the right team, he could do well. But yeah, if you're Man City, you look at his minutes. Is he playing enough? Probably not.
But so, what does that tell you? What does that tell you about the lad?
No, not necessarily. We've had players before. You can have players in teams where the manager don't fancy them. They go to another team and they shine. So,
is there a chance that Man City have asked us not to play him every week, just to manage his game time a bit better, not overrun him?
I don't think he's good enough. I think he's got great potential. You wouldn't be in the Man City youth academy at the level he's at if you didn't have great potential. Fergie sees these guys day in, day out. I just don't.
But why would you play him every week when you've got Ronnie Edwards and Josh Knight, who are a really good partnership, and they both belong to the club?
Yeah, 100% agree. But then
whether an agreement's made in January, because I'm pretty sure Edwards will be sold. Surely, I just hope if they can get a deal where it's to maybe a really big club, say a Spurs, where they're not going to necessarily need him, and it's like a loan back. I think that'd be great if we could do that. But I mean, some people are doubting Ronnie Edwards, aren't they? So you still see it now, but in recent weeks, he was like against Oxford, he looks like he's got physically bigger as well. Like he's almost grown into his shirt when he's coming, bringing the ball out from the back. He's just barnstorming the midfield, getting past everyone. Yeah, he is one hell of a player.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I can see why people are for or against players. I can kind of see both sides of the coin, but I really struggle to understand why people would be in any way against Ronnie Edwards. It's similar to what we would say about Tony in when he was there, in that he's a step above.
You can't get through a podcast without mentioning Ivan Tony.
No, because he's that step above, a bit like we said when Tony was there. He's just, even when he's having a bad game, he's better than anyone else in that position. Just jumping back to what we were saying about Katongo, though, I feel like there was always a change around the plan. And I wonder if it was because initially we weren't going to, get Knight in on a contract. But, we got Critchlow in, turned out not to be great. Katongo, I feel like, was in and it was going to be a Katongo-Critchlow centre-back partnership. And I just don't feel like either of them are as good as what we anticipated. I don't buy that we would get a player like Katongo in on the off chance he might get the odd game here or there. If he's at that level where he's looking to break into a first team, I don't think he would be happy with that either. I feel like he came in to be one of the starting two centre-backs, but he's just not good enough, in my opinion.
You've got to think that, Tim, because like you just said, we were expecting Ronnie Edwards to be sold. We were expecting Josh Knight was at QPR, weren't you, about to sign? So, yeah, two of them would be gone, so Katongo would have had a lot more minutes. So I'm sure the agreement wasn't to, just have him ticking over. I think he would have been a starter, but obviously it's not.
Just quickly on Josh Knight, I know Dara said that he's going to offer him a new contract, but it's all gone a bit quiet now. His contract's up in the summer. Is there a chance that he could go in January if a Championship club offer enough money for him?
Well, don't we have a thing, don't we, where if they're in their last year, they go on the transfer list? But I'm sure, I know you. I remember, like you said about Dara saying he would get a new contract. Did he not sign one? if anyone's got Football Manager open, fire it up and see when his contract expires, because I'm interested to know. I'm sure he signed, I might be wrong, but I'm sure he signed one back when Darrow was talking about it. And that's why he's then come back in. And I mean, he is, Jared, like we talk about Ronnie going, Josh Knight has become an absolute baller for us. I think he would be one of the first names on the team sheet for me now.
Same here. He's a brilliant footballer. And he is just that footballer. He's great defensively. He's good as well with the ball. He can bring it out from the back. Yeah, for League One, we're blessed to have him. So for me, he'd be my captain as well. I thought he'd have got it at the start of the season. So yeah, I'd hopefully we build the defence around him a little bit, because obviously Kyoso, as Lud said, it's up in the air with him. Unfortunately, he's not our player. I love the man. And not just for... I was talking to a friend the other day when we was watching the Oxford game. And he
don't
does give the ball away quite a lot.
You don't have
say again?
You don't have friends. Pretend not you do.
It was one of you, but
yeah.
I've got another friend.
It weren't me.
No, one of the group, not you two. And he does give the ball away quite a lot. But he also drags the team out of the shit as well. Then he's so vocal. And when you see like the team huddles, he's the one, I know he's the captain, but he's the one who's shouting. And you do need a player like that. So if we could keep him, we're brilliant. But no, Knight is important.
I've got contract expiry dates in front of me. So expiring this summer, Jono, which we know about, Fuchs, Josh Knight and Harrison Burrows. But yeah, I do believe Harrison Burrows has got a year extension clause if we need.
Okay. So in which case we would expect Josh Knight to be, if they're not going to re-sign imminently, he would be potentially going in January, because that's the transfer policy, isn't it? We don't let players go for free.
I don't think Burrows will sign.
I do. He's a local. I don't think he's.
Tim, yeah, honestly, seriously, it means fuck all to these young lads.
No, I agree. But what I mean is, I think he knows he's probably a season away yet from a move up. So I don't think it's in his interest to go in the summer, because I don't think he would go sideways or down. I don't think he's ready for the championship.
The only plus on that is he's seen a friend, like, is it Flynn Clark, go to Norwich. And yeah, there's that a Swanee of it, didn't it, literally. But yeah, that hopefully will keep him here. But yeah, for me, I think we'll struggle to keep him.
I'm sure Darragh said there was four players he was going to offer new deals to. As far as I know, none of them have signed a new deal. I'm sure
Sam
those four were.
You're going to comment on that quiff then. That's why he quickly put it down. He knew it was happening.
I've thrown straight on. Sorry, Loz, we interrupted you there. But talking of signings, it's our very own summer signing has just joined us rather tardily, I should add. But nonetheless, Mr. Sam Edwards is with us now. Hi, Sam.
Hey, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I didn't realise how bad the hair was, Jared. you called it spot on.
The only reason I add about the fact you were late, Sam, is because we're starting to think host of the season. But, you know, it's fine. Lod, sorry, go back to the point you were making. Just say apologies.
Yeah, so I'm sure Darrow, towards the beginning of the season, he said there was four contracts he was going to give out. Fuchs, Poku, Burrows and Knight were the four. As far as I know, he's not offered anything. Well, he's not heard anything, have we? It's all gone a bit quiet. Poku is another one we should start wearing. His contract expires next summer.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get a bid for him in January. Sam, we've just been talking about the games this week. Just very briefly, your view on the fact we beat Arsenal and therefore go into the round of 16 in the Jadon Katongol Cup, or whatever it's called now, home to Crawley, and then 3-0 shutout at home to Oxford this weekend.
Yeah, no, another great week, strong week of home performances as well. So it's hard to sort of find too many faults, really. I mean, I know on the pod a couple of weeks ago we were trying to think about, you know, for balance, because we like to make sure that we're not blindingly positive or blindingly negative either way, and we were talking about the keeper, weren't we, and so we had a bit of a spill against Stevenage, and we were talking about Harrison Burrows as well. But to be fair, like, Burrows has done so well in the last few games as well. So, you know, even though some of those areas we were talking about, we have, yeah, it's sort of hard to find fault with this team. So it's just another great week. The home form keeps rolling on and the goals keep flying in the net. So hard to be really grumbling about anything, to be honest.
Well, in your absence, Jared has been. He's been saying that Burris isn't a left back, should never be in the left back position, that he's worth nothing. He's a local lad, but that means nothing to him. He hates the club, and that he's probably going to be gone in January. It's pretty much all you've missed from.
Nonsense.
Explosive pod then. Look forward to listening back to that bit.
Yeah, and that's absolutely what happened, word for word. Just interestingly, Sam, just while we wrap up on everything that's happened this week, Craig's been in, just basically messaging as to whether or not, when or if Ronnie does go in January, whether Jadel Katongo would be a like-for-like. And we've kind of been having a relatively heated, not heated debate, let's be honest, because I'm right and they're wrong. But basically, I was saying that I don't think Katongo is as good as the fan base assume he is. Lodz was more or less on the fence. And Jared's basically saying, no, he's good. He's going to be fine. What's your view on that?
It's hard to judge him on too many games, but he's, you know, he has done well since he's come in, played those games. There's no question about it. I don't think it's necessarily the route Posh will go down. He's probably too a bit fresh. They'll look for someone, I'm sure, and probably already do have, you know, a couple of targets in mind. I suppose that is the one worry, isn't it? That we're enjoying it while it lasts, but January is just around the corner. So, you know, the imminent departure you feel of Ronnie, and what is that going to do? Because that back line is looking so steady and so calm at the moment, with Kyoso, with Knight, with Burrows as well. And I think that's the advantage Burrows does give you at left back, is that he is calm on the ball. So you've got some really good sort of calm ball playing players at the back. You know, Knight, we know his burst from the back forward as well. You know that you've got Edwards there to cover him. So that is a concern, and it would be a big ask of Katongo, I think, to do that. But happy to see how he goes, though I'm sure Posh will look to strengthen away from that.
Just interesting as well, Sam, we've had a brief conversation off air this week about the introduction of the new motorway service station Top Trumps. And were we to engage in Secret Santa, I feel like that would be... Yeah, that would be what I would be getting you. Just very interestingly, Gloucester has done quite well in the Top Trumps ratings.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's good. But, you know, ultimately rugby's going to be the best, isn't it? I don't want to reopen that can of worms.
How did Bridgewater do? Because that's the one that's an absolute shocker.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I've not bought it, so I don't know. But you know, I might
play it by yourself, Tim. You really would give off those kind of vibes.
I do Secret Santa on me. What's that meant to mean? I don't play Top Trumps.
So as it no, hang on. You were so excited about it, I thought you may well have gone out and bought it. I'm not saying you'd engage in Secret Santa in yourself. Normally, it's just called buying yourself a gift, treating yourself. Every time you go to the shop, oh, I'm going to have some cheddar cheese, Secret Santa.
I can't afford that, Sam. I work for the NHS, as you know, yeah, as you can pension, relate.
Got that pension to.
I, despite the grey hair, I am. I'm not quite there just yet. A quick break, and then we will look ahead to Fleetwood Way.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Bye-bye. Fleetwood away next weekend then. This has never been a particularly happy hunting ground for us. At least it feels that way. Our record against them, 1-7, lost 7, drawn 2. Last meeting was Valentine's Day this year, where we lost 1-0 away at Highbury. They are struggling. They're in the relegation zone as we record this. 19 games played, just the 16 points, and they've lost 3 on the bounce. Last in, Sam, give us your views on Fleetwood.
Yeah, they've not done particularly well, have they? And obviously Scott Brown has gone out on the change of manager already, and penny for the thoughts of Jack Marriott going there. And yes. I know, you know, you wonder how can he do better than that? You know, might he be on the move in January? But they've obviously pre-season they had all the concern, didn't they, around their owner and all the issues that were going on there, and how much that paid into it, or I guess their former owner, and that probably rocked the club. You know, maybe not so much the players, but sort of the off-field scenes, the foundations of the club, because he'd been such a big part of what they'd done, rising through the ranks, and you know, with the, I think his business was very sort of heavily behind the club as well. I know they had an office in the main stand, I think, and you wonder how much that sort of just rocked the foundations, and they're maybe a bit struggling a bit. I think pre-season there was talk of potentially a points deduction of some kind as well. Although maybe I'm getting that confused with all the other clubs that seem to be talking about pre-season. So, yeah, it's not going the way they would have liked. They've been in League One for a number of years now, haven't they? And they've never really had that extra kick on. But we know that the League One to the Championship push is hard. So maybe that, you know, the signs are starting to show that they've kind of hit their ceiling and they're dropping back off again.
Yeah. Lods, Fleetwood away, are you doing this one?
I'm not actually, no. Too expensive for me to go to that one. But I will be going abroad very quickly and watching it on the TV.
Yeah, travelling to your Amsterdam office, you know, obviously.
Yeah, that's the one.
You find the one. Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, they're normally a bogey team for us, aren't they? We have lost quite a lot of times to them. I think, did they do the double over us last season? 1-0 both games?
It sounds about right. My only positive memory away at Fleetwood is the year that we went up, because it felt like a turning point in our season where it was like, actually, yeah, okay, we can beat these teams away. I've got a funny feeling JCH scored a brace, or we won 1-0 and JCH scored it. I've got a memory of JCH scoring that season, and it was, okay, maybe we are going to do something. So yeah, definitely a bogey team.
I think we should be winning this comfortably. It's easy to say it'll be typical posh to lose, given that Fleetwood are well out of form and we're well in form. But I just think we're far too good. We've not scored in a game since Cobblers away this season.
Which was like a long time ago.
If you think we're going to score every game, Fleetwood have got outscorers. I can't see it happening.
Interesting. Jared, where is Fleetwood in the country?
It's near the seaside.
Yeah, but which seaside? We're in Ireland.
Blackpool.
Oh, fair play. I mean, do you know what? Fair play to you. I'm impressed. That's impressive. What are your thoughts on Fleetwood away?
I think we'll absolutely spank them. I think we'll... I don't think... The way we're playing football at the minute will not suit their struggle. So, yeah, I think we 3-1 posh.
Well, I didn't want your prediction yet, but thanks.
Well, you've got it now.
I know. So that's it. It's just a man of few words, but what he does give is just full of sustenance.
Three times
hosted a season. 3-1. I see what you did there as well. You picked that as the scoreline. Yeah, impressive. New feature we're introducing, whereby we give one host the ability to be the manager for an upcoming game. Lods, this is on you. So we're looking for your starting 11 for this one, whether you would change anything from the Oxford game and what your game plan would be to break down Fleetwood.
I think we'd be stupid to do anything but go completely unchanged. I'm not aware of any new injury issues with the team. The only argument you could have is whether you want to give some players a rest with the long run of games in December. But I think the positives that you get out of winning every week with the same team and the momentum that we'd gain by doing that, I think outweighs resting players. Kyoso, I think, is the only one that really looks like he's struggling at the moment anyway. And if he's going back to Rotherham in January, who cares what condition we give him back in, right?
If it's like selling a used car. It's we've got no Tuesday night games, to my knowledge, this week or next week. So do we need that rest, potentially?
No, I don't think so. I think... I think all of the games leading up until the end of December, I think we should just be expecting to win them. Just carry on playing the way we are. Same team. Hopefully they've got enough in them to not pick up any injuries or struggle with fatigue.
Just keep winning.
Just keep going the way we are.
Fair enough. No sort of inclination to replace Jones with Windershill for this one?
No, I think it's probably a bit too soon. Ricky doesn't seem to play 90 minutes very often, so I would like to see Windersill play maybe half an hour or so. But I think it's probably a bit too early for him to be starting league games.
Fair enough. Sam, you missed some amazing window-related puns earlier, and I bet you can't guess which host came out with them.
I suspect it began with tit and end in im.
It was, absolutely. It was. It was indeed. I mean, they were sensational, even by, you know, my own sort of judgment, I would say.
Been a busy week of extracurricular activities for you, has it? Like coming up with the jokes ready for the pod?
Well, no, it just happens. I didn't know we were going to talk about Windowsill, and then, you know, I was throwing out pain and pulling yourself together, and, you know, it's just how it happens.
Do you think he's in the frame for a start then?
Oh, see, this is why we're like, Jared's face palming, but only because he knows.
I'm not intelligent enough to think of him. I'm looking at a window trying to get something come, but no, it's not happening.
You need to get a handle on yourself, Jared.
Is your window open behind you, Jared?
Yes, because I am sat next to a radiator and the switch is on the other side. So I'm fucking melting at the minute.
That's how lazy our Jared is. He won't...
I can't get to it unless I'm off the screen.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. We'll let you off. Actually, we've got quite an eclectic backgrounds going on. You've got you with your Christmas tree and your window open. Lodz has got his cat who looks increasingly comfortable. Like they've settled into a more comfortable position as the pod's gone on. It's must be something about your voice, Lodz, that just sends them...
Sam's just got back and crashed on the sofa.
Yeah. And Sam, your hair's definitely growing.
Tim's still got a fence for a door.
Me? Oh, right, yeah. Which way is the Christmas tree?
We've got matching doors, Sam.
I got them because you had them.
Well, I mean...
Where did you get them from?
The door shop.
Travis Perkins.
Yeah, got them from the door shop. Anyway, prediction league update for you all. As it stands, squadron leader Jetwash remains...
Stop. Did you just say y'all?
Y'all.
Start again, please.
Is this like the Brizzle thing all over again?
Yeah, ridiculous. Start again.
Prediction league update for y'all.
You're 34.
Who's y'all?
Prediction league update for you. Squadron leader Jetwash remains out top on 16 points. Stell is in second on 14. Kyle Irvin on 12 in third. And then fourth, fifth and sixth all have 11 points. That's David Dillaway, Josh Mackey and Seamus Walker. In seventh, this is a rise up the charts. In seventh with 10 points is, what was I say? It's Tim, it's me. That's awkward. Emerald Posh is eighth with 8 points. Milan also on 8 points in nine. That's confusing to read. And Dan makes up the top 10 with 7 points. Introducing as well the Holy Trinity chip. You know, like you have triple captain in fantasy football. Well, this is our version of it. So between now and the end of the season, each player gets to use this chip once. And what it will do is it will triple your points for that prediction. It's 1 point for the correct winner or the correct outcome, be that a draw or a team that wins, and then 3 points for the exact score. And I would like to point out, I got 3 points this week because I absolutely smashed it with predicting 3-0. So I'd like to use my Holy Trinity chip, Danny, if I can, sort of, you know, in retrospect. In terms of the pod league, so I, you know, I'm top. I don't want to sort of keep going on about that, but as it stands, I am first. I'm on top of that pile. I am numero uno with 10 points. Dan and Sam are joint second, or joint third, I suppose. Depends how we look at it, with 7. And producer Danny, who isn't even a Posh fan, is beating you, Jared. He's in fourth with 5 points. And then fifth is Jared with 3 points. And Nathan finally has a point. He's in sixth with 1 point. Joint third, Sam, I'm going for, despite the fact you are joint second.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about Nathan and when we decide what the forfeit's going to be for the lowest scoring host this season.
He's got a point now, Jared. You've got Nathan coming up your back at the minute, so you need to watch yourself.
Literally.
Well, to be fair, I think I've only given like 3 predictions in, so I don't know how he's lower than I am.
Well, yeah, that's true. Maybe he's not been bothering either, I don't know. But round the table then, Jared, just remind me what you said for this one.
Like our host of the season awards, 1 to them, 3 to me.
Lads' prediction for Fleetwood away?
I think we're going to win 5-1.
5-1, Sam.
That's ballsy on your first pod. I like it. 2-0, Posh.
I am triple chipping. I'm doing it. I'm slamming that triple chip down for this game. We draw this game 0-0. Although, no, I could still get, yeah, I could get 9 points for this. I could take the lead if that comes off. Exciting times. Elsewhere in football, England have drawn Slovenia, Denmark and Serbia in Euro 2024. Jared, just are we going to cover the Euros this year?
I think we should. We agreed not to.
Are you happy with that group?
Yeah. To be fair, I didn't know the group. I love international football tournaments, all the stuff, but I just can't get into it. All the qualifiers playing dog and duck away. It just bores me to tears. So, you know, I can't wait for the tournament to start. And I think we've got a good chance as well.
Yeah, and Sam, as an experienced broadcaster, you may have seen that during the draw, which is a pinnacle of international football, millions of people tuned in to watch. There were sex noises during the draw. I mean, it's just childish, isn't it? It's just people just need to grow up a little bit, don't you think?
I was unaware of this, Tim. You're obviously paying a lot of attention. Or were they quite obvious?
They were, but I mean, it's just childish, isn't it? Don't you think?
I don't know.
You knew it was coming, and the fact that I missed the play button.
I'm going to have to explain that to my wife now.
You sure are.
She just walked in. No.
Hi, Chloe.
The amount of times you get sent that is ridiculous.
That's what he tells her anyway. I've been sent that video clip again.
He's gone so red.
I'll believe it more then, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
This is why you should wear headphones.
See ya.
That
I can't
right
even flinch.
Please, can we let that stay in the pod, I assume?
The fact I missed the button the first time round, so I have to ask the same question again.
I knew what was coming because I just know you too well.
You were.
Fucking headphones. Why didn't I put the headphones on?
I thought you weren't going to do the joke when you missed it. I thought, yeah. Oh, maybe he's not lining himself up for it.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
that was rough.
It just takes me a while to, you know, to get to that point where I've climaxed and pressed the button. It's, you know, it's just.
She says, "What are you doing there for an hour? What do you talk about?" Now she's going to think I'm.
I'm going to message her. I'm friends with her on Facebook. I'm going to message her and say, "Is Jared coming back to the pod anytime soon?" Because we've been weeks. Just leave that.
Oh,
in
that was embarrassing.
I like how she says, "You get that sent that clip all the time." Yeah, of course she does. Of course you do. I've been sent that clip again, fourth time today.
That bloody clip again, yeah.
It's only when he's in the toilet as well.
Sam, interested, genuinely though, interested to get your view on this. So Mark Bonner sat by Cambridge. The reason I throw this to you is former BBC Cambridgeshire employee, of course. Now, they've appointed Neil Harris, and as somebody who has I won't say connection, but an interest in Gillingham, let's say. I'm delighted with this appointment as a posh fan because Neil Harris plays defensive, backwards, boring football. So I am over the moon that Cambridge have got to be subjected to that going forward.
Well, it's what they've been subjected to at times under Bonner. I was trying to make sense of it, really, because he's got them to such a point, you know, for a long time in the past. For 20 years, they've been a non-league team, and he's got them to such a high now where they are in League One. You know, they've bought their stadium back. They've just upgraded their training ground. They're in a really good place. They've got a fan as a manager, and I know that means that you shouldn't then, give them any special privileges or let them have an extra 5-10 games if things aren't going well. But I just wondered, like, where do they think they can get to? Do they think that they can push on even more with someone other than Bonner? And the only reason I could see, you know, looking around and speaking to a few people I know who are Cambridge fans is to understand why they've done it is the football. And it wasn't boring. And it was being described as Bonner ball at times. And so I thought maybe they're just going for a more attacking brand of football. But I don't think that's really, again, some of these Cambridge fans saying we've never really been known for that. Like, we're happy at our level. We've got our ground back. We've got a new training ground. You know, we're okay. We're happy to be at this level for a bit. So I didn't really understand it. I mean, I know they've not been doing well, but I was still a bit surprised because he has always, Mark Bonner, had a habit of getting a good result when he needs it, when they've been struggling and they'll put back-to-back results together. And they've always kept themselves afloat when they've been skirting with the relegation zone. So, yeah, still a bit confused by it, to be honest. I know they got a good result coming from two down to draw 2-2 at the weekend. People seem to be happy with Neil Harris as an appointment, but yeah, we'll see how that one pans out. Still scratching my head a little bit.
Yeah, any interest in this, Loz, in terms of what's going on south of the county?
No, not really. Don't really care about them too much. I do agree with Sam though. They're not doing terrible this season, are they? They're not relegation risk of or anything.
I think it's because of how they started last season. They maybe have let their expectations perhaps climb.
Yeah, maybe. They've spent a lot of money on their training ground as well, haven't they, recently? Maybe the owners think that they can do better than what they're doing, but I'm with Sam on this one. I think they should just be happy where they are, considering where they've been the last 10 years. Mid-table League One is definitely not something they should be upset about right now.
Any views, Jared?
Yeah, it reminds me of what we did with Fergie, you know, where you have a bit of success, end up expecting too much, and then make a rash decision. So, he'll be back there, I think. I can see Harris going for the end of the season, and then, he'll make a return.
You reckon that's
I think he looks like Lee Tomlin, by the way.
Who? Harris? Bonner. Maybe-ish, perhaps. What's Lee Tomlin doing nowadays?
He's doing his coaching badge. Can you imagine him being a manager, going out punching wing mirrors when we lose 2-0?
I was speaking to someone the other day about Lee Tomlin, and I was talking to them about that. Who was it? It was someone in the Premier League, wasn't it? Was it Lewis Dunk who got sent off twice? Got sent off two yellows in really quick succession. And I showed him a clip of Lee Tomlin at Doncaster. Do you remember that one where he got a yellow card and then he kicked the ball away straight away or into someone and got a yellow card straight away? One of my favourite clips. Good old Lee Tomlin.
He was manager of Ilkeston Town last season, wasn't he? Is he still there?
Oh, I didn't know he got a job yet.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure he was player manager. They have Leroy Leiter up front, or at least they did have. So he was bringing himself on in games and playing up front with Leroy Leiter. I don't know.
He's got Tim's age at least.
Well, interesting fact, Lee Tomlin is my age. In fact, Lee Tomlin is but 1 month older than me. A little interesting fact. Well, I say interesting.
Is he as grey though?
Sorry, no, probably not. He's also got a much more checkered history than...
I think he'll end up being like a bit of a Jerry Barton. He'll come out and say something daft and then end up in hot water.
Yeah, anyway, according to Wikipedia, so we know this must be right, he is still player coach at Ilkeston. So it must be right if it's on Wikipedia. Wikipedia's never been wrong. Anything else that you lads would like to talk about before we wrap up?
I've got one thing to bring into it.
Go on.
Where's Sammy Schmodics going in January? Championship's top scorer. What a turnaround that's been for him this season.
He's not going anywhere, Sam, because he's just signed a 3.5-year contract extension at the club.
Give over to him.
Yeah, but Bonner signed a 3-year deal in September, and look what's happened to him. If we're going to bring two topics together on this pod, like Sammy Schmodics is killing it at the Championship. Great to see, really. To be honest, didn't really think he necessarily had it in him, but he's doing a great job.
He is. I'd say, I think the fact he's just signed a new deal, though, surely...
Means nothing.
You think?
How much would you value him at the moment?
Price up. It just makes a couple more million quid. That's all that is.
How much do you think it is worth? If say, West Ham were going to put a bid in.
He's not ready.
Oh, that'd be his dream, wouldn't it? He's a massive West Ham fan. £4 or 5 million.
If he's
top goals in the Championship, you could argue more. But even when he was at the club, when he was in League One, you could see that before we got to the Championship, I was thinking he's a Championship player all day long. And then he got to the Championship and... There was a few games where he really turned it on. You're thinking, a hell of a player. But then he just dropped off completely, didn't he? It was frustrating because you could see the player there. But no, like Sam, I am surprised he's done what he's done. But couldn't happen to a nicer bloke, to be fair.
Yeah, I think you have to have the right system for him to play in, don't you? He's got a very specific way of playing. He's not one that's clinical as a striker, is he? He needs a lot of space to run into. So I think he could get a dream move to the Premier League and just completely flop, couldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he obviously... took a while to warm up in the Championship with Posh after that. I mean, he didn't get much of a chance, did he, when he was at Bristol City before coming to Posh? And I still remember that game against Ipswich away before all the lockdown and the season ended. That, you know, that was one of my favourite Posh away performances. And I know you had, you know, the cheat code in Ivan Toney there as well. But yeah, he's done a great job after they lost Brereton. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens, for sure.
You know, when you look at that Ipswich picture, there's Ivan Toney, Sariqi Dembele, Sammy Smolic, you think, can't believe we had them all at one time. But I do think we'll probably look back at this team and say similar things.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'll tell you who Smolic does remind me of a little bit, and that's Bowen. When Bowen moved from Hull to West Ham, I thought that was never going to be I didn't think he would make it. But look at him now. He's star player for them, isn't he? So potentially Smodic could do it, maybe. I feel like they're kind of similar type of characters.
Did Smodic drop the whole I'm Irish thing, or was he played competitive?
Well, top scorer in the championship, he'll get those Irish call-ups left, right and centre now, won't he? I still can't forgive him for one thing, though. Like, as you said, Jared, he's a great bloke, fantastic to interview as well. Great to watch on the pitch. But that miss against Man City in the Cup when we were 0-0, we'll never forgive him for that. 6 yards out. Maybe I'm being a bit unkind by saying centre of the goal, but he should have put us 1-0 up against City. That's the only blot on his copybook.
That would have been insane, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? I think Mario had a good chance as well, didn't he? I feel like he should have put one away.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Sammy does go. But I don't think he'll go, won't he?
Because I never forget that game. I was in the Man City end, and a fan, Man City fan, came up to me and said, are you doing all right? Yeah, you're doing all right. I said, yeah, this is the best I've ever seen this play. It's brilliant. I think it was an hour in and it was still 0-0. And he said, yeah, but you're playing our kids. I thought, do you know your own team? Literally, all your best players are on the field. It annoyed me so much. It's like, these are actually your best players, and here we are competing quite well.
Yeah, we did. It was a good memory. I still don't think Sammy will go anywhere in January, though. He's not ready for that step up. Is there any Premiership team that's ready for that type of player?
You might get a team. I don't think he'd go, but you might get a Luton or in with a shout.
Yeah, the only team that springs to mind for me, I'm not so sure about Luton, but maybe Sheffield United. But he's not really is he a Wilder type player? Maybe.
It's the only maybe Lodz is right, and he'll get and move to West Ham.
They do
some signings like that, don't they? Like you say, Jared Bowen went there. There's a few others that they've brought from lower league.
I still think West Ham is the team Ronnie Edwards is going to. Hopefully, we're just getting back as a loan signing. I don't know. Maybe if they buy Ronnie Edwards and Sammy Smodics, we'll get a bit of a sell on from Sammy Smodics and, you know, a new stadium from Ronnie Edwards. So, potentially.
Get some sleep.
Yeah, innit? Thanks for listening to this episode of The Yellow Block. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, and follow us on the socials or visit our website, www.theyellowblock.co.uk. Up the posh, y'all.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.